All right, y'all. Hey, hi, loves. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Grace.
I'm Haley.
And this is T2, a Christian women's podcast whose focus is staying and studying in God's Word with the goal of advancing our lives to teaching His truth. Our topic today is what's good? Teaching what's good. And what better way to find what's good than going to His Word that is truly good?
All right, guys. Today we are going to be in the book of Titus. A little history. The Apostle Paul was writing to Titus in Crete so that Titus might put what remained into order and appoint elders to every town as directed, chapter 1, verse 5. Crete was a crazy town for some backstory. Verses 12 through 13 points that out to us. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, and this testimony is true." So there was blatant evidence of disorder and no leadership within the churches at Crete. And their reputation preceded them shamefully. So Paul wrote to Titus to choose elders with detailed and specific character requirements. In addition, he also specified that character traits are needed in older men and women, younger men and women, bondservants, and those within the body of Christ in the towns of Crete. We will be focusing in on Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, which says, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working from home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled."
In other words, the older women are known to live what they are teaching, which were the qualifications to teach the younger women, training them to do these good works. And these older women were known to be masters. So teach what is good. We're going to break it down into the Greek. The Greek is kalodidaskalos. I know, big mouth word, sounds like a kaleidoscope, but we'll break it down. So didaskalos means instructor or a teacher, such as a master or a doctor. And kalos means good, which is excellent, it's beneficial. So put it together. We have a teacher or instructor, such as a master or a doctor, of the right, a teacher of what is excellent, a teacher of good things. Therefore, these older women are masters of what they teach, and their teaching is soulfully good, beneficial, and useful. And think about this too, and so train. They were to teach what is good and so train. So this is not a one-time deal. This is not a check mark the box, I'm done. This is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment opportunity for the older women to mentor the younger, allowing them to grow and be humbled as they walk together on this adventure of Christ-like living filled with good works. Haley and I can both agree on this one. For studying for this topic, we were extremely humbled, and it's humbling, for we know that we are not masters yet. I pray we all inspire to and work towards becoming one. And when it's the Lord's time for us to be that teacher for another, we will be equipped and ready. It's also a strange area because though we are considered younger, we do not have our own husbands or children yet. Therefore, this is your younger, older sisters coming alongside you, showing you as young adults how we are applying God's word at this time. And I pray that when you become a young adult, you can use these tools, the Bible being the tool belt that holds it all together, to benefit you as you grow with Christ. So let's start this training. Haley, what's good?
All right, you guys. Our first characteristic today is love their husbands and children. Obviously, y'all don't have husbands or children, but let's go ahead and look into this. Proverbs 31, 11 through 12, that says, "She does him good and not harm all the days of her life." I started in 11, my bad. We are going to go back to 11. "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack or gain. She does him good and does not do him harm any days of her life." All right. Highest remarks. So that's a really big thing to say about your wife, is that the high regards. What does this look like for us? We don't have husbands. We don't have children. What are we doing to prepare us for this blessing? Well, we can start by praying for our future husbands and children. I know for myself, that's what I do on a daily basis. I pray for my future husband that they are out there seeking Christ first. And you can also pray for yourself as a godly woman, that you may grow up one day and be an amazing mother or wife. The best gift you can give to your husband or your child is your own emotion, physical, spiritual, and intellectual health. So you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of your husband and children.
Yes, and the Bible verse that comes to mind when we talk about praying, the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. And it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Christ's will for you." Well, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Another Bible verse about prayer is Mark 11, 24. So a little contextual backstory on this one. That word's a mouthful too. is before he says this verse, he's talking about faith. How if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, move, and it will move. And then he says, if you believe, you will receive. If you pray and you believe, you will receive. But let me back up there. Let's go there. So Mark 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." So you have to have faith. You pray and you have faith and you believe that you will have future husband and children if this is the Lord's will for you. And speaking of prayer, I have a book called 31 Prayers for Your Future Husband. I got it at Hobby Lobby, like, after I graduated college, but it literally has 31 topics to pray for about your future husband that I didn't think of before. So highly recommend. I think you can still get it at Hobby Lobby. Maybe, if not, try Amazon, but highly recommend that resource.
All right. Also, what you can do is ask the older women at church what they did to prepare. How did your moms or grandparents prepare to have a husband and children? How did they become the women that they are today? Or you can even ask women around the church. There's plenty of women in here that will gladly give you advice. Observe your parents around the house and participate in house duties and participate in chores. Sometimes you may not want to do those chores, but this is preparing you for your future home, because you may not want to wake up and take care of children one day, but that's still a part of life. Another way that you can do that is you can practice your five love language. I know some of y'all might know them. They are the words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, gifts, and quality time. We're going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This teaches us how to love well. It says, "Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As tongues, they will cease. For as for knowledge, it will pass away." So, are we being patient, kind, or are we being boastful or proud?
Yeah.
Our next little characteristic that it reads out for us is self-controlled or self-disciplined. If you read Proverbs 25, 28, "A man without self-control is like a broken city left without walls." So what is it telling us? We are without self-control. We are unstable. We don't have boundaries. We don't have anything to keep in the good or keep out the bad. Also, if you turn to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it reads out the fruits of the Spirit. I know all of y'all know the fruits of the Spirit by heart. So That being said, how do we get self-control? Through the Spirit. How do we get that? How do we get the Spirit? Baptism. That is always going to be our first step. You have to be in Christ to receive the Spirit. Next is daily prayer and communication with God our Father. What does self-control truly look like for us? Romans 6:12 reads, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body." Back to Proverbs 25:28, having self-control, you need to have strong walls to keep the bad out. Just like Paul is saying here in Romans, don't let the bad reign over you and take over your body. Don't give in to pressure of this world. Romans 12:2.
Yes, and to build off of you, in Proverbs 12, verse 1, it reads, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." So to learn, you must love discipline, and to teach, you must love to learn. Self-control and self-discipline, I feel like, intertwine together because both provide the same benefits. It provides structure, it gives us a rubric to follow, and it keeps us in our line. And no, it's not completely pleasant, as Hebrews 12 points out, but it does provide us with guidance, stability, and stamina to keep growing and to keep going, like endurance training. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 about self-control as we run this race towards our eternal goal, which ties into what Haley said before. It trains us to not give in to the pressures of the world. So what does that look like for us? What are we doing right now that aids in practicing self-control?
I think a good one would really be social media time limit. I know for myself, I went to a fall retreat this weekend and we talked a lot about what can we cut out of our life to make time for God. And me personally, I put a time limit on Instagram. I like to scroll on reels to no end. Mm-hmm. And I put a 30-minute time limit a day. So I will cut down my time on Instagram.
Yeah, also to add to that effect, another Bible verse is, "Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom," Psalm 90:12. Time management is a huge thing, and Haley knows my story. Almost 6 months ago, I had to get off Instagram because it became an idol in my life. I was doom scrolling. I was going through and wasting so much time. And now lately, I had to put a 10-minute a day limit on my Facebook because I also still doom scroll on there. So putting those limits, and I say that because when we talk about self-control and self-discipline, we need accountability.
Yes.
We need people to be like, "Hey, how are you doing today? Or this week, how did you do?" And with accountability, in order to get that, we need we need to be vulnerable, which means pride comes down and the problems come out. We do need to tell each other about our problems. We
yes.
need the accountability and the support to put our lives back right on track on God's way. So with that, last month, you all talked about a topic that is very much well known with us as being women. We are yappers. We like to talk. But last month, y'all talked about gossip. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts, because I know you have the answers to them already. You do. Don't panic. What are some things that you guys can practice, whether it be self-control, self-discipline, when it comes to gossip or rumor, or just talking in general? You want to go ahead?
From my
That's good. That's good.
I think that's a big thing when it comes to gossiping is having strong boundaries. Having the strength to be like, "Hey, let's not talk about this right now." Or even sometimes it comes down to just walking away. And that might be hard. You may lose some friends in that sense. But sometimes that's what you have to do as a Christian woman.
Mm-hmm. So with gossip, a lot of times, either it's about us or about someone else, but an underlying thing with gossip is our emotions. We are also known that to get mad easy, sad easy.
Yes.
All the things, all the ranges. So another thing is practicing self-control and self-discipline in your emotions. Emotions are good, and God made them, but it's not always good when your emotions are louder than His word or His spirit. So pause, take a moment to process what you're feeling, name it and claim it. Some of you girls went to God's Girls in Ada during the summer. She talked really well about emotions. If you still have those notes, pull them out. If you don't, I'll share them with you. They were good. Because even us as young adults, we have to learn how to control our emotions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Emotions are good. I want to reiterate that. Emotions are good. They're God-made. But it's what you do with them is really what comes down to it. Having the self-control to can take that emotion and put it into something good or react in a certain way. That's where the real self-control comes from.
Yes, ma'am. All right, are we on to the next one?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so next is pure. So what does that mean? Well, in Greek, it actually means holy. And from the commentary in the Blue Letter Bible, it says, so cleansed of all ulterior motives and of self that one has become pure enough to see God. Rather than wishing to escape God's sight, the one who is pure is able to bear his very scrutiny, which means critical observation or examination. The one man who just came to mind when I think of pure is a man that was known in the Bible to pursue God's heart, a man after God's own heart. And we see this exclamation in Psalm 139, verse 23 through 24. And David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He willingly wants the examination with the result of being holy, being pure, being right before God. And we know that the opposite of purity is impurity, which is earthly. We read that in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 6. And we are told to put to death what is earthly in us. So how do we apply this? Well, the first Bible verse that came to mind was, blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God, Matthew 5, 8. Here's the question to digest, to self-reflect. What are you doing, whether that be listening, reading, watching, spending the majority of your time on, that is keeping you from seeing God? What is distracting you from Him?
Yes, a big thing that comes to mind is the song, Be Careful Little Ears What You Hear, Be Careful Little Eyes What You See. It is definitely a big thing. What you put into your body is what comes out of it. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your heart comes into your mind. What are you thinking about? What are you listening to? What are you watching? All of those kind of things will honestly just show in your day-to-day life. So being more aware of what you are listening to. Me personally, to get a little vulnerable with you guys, is I had a problem with swearing back in high school and up into my early, now adulthood. What helped me with that is not listening to music with swear words in it. So I listened to Forrest Frank and Josiah Queens and country music here and there because they're a little cleaner. But that personally has helped me in my walk. And what comes out of it is amazing.
That's so good. We also read in Psalm 119:9, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And in James 3:17, it says, the wisdom from above is first pure. So his word is the wisdom we must crave and digest in order to continue to live pure and holy lives. So we got to be disciplined.
Yes.
And we got to keep ourselves in the word in order to develop in our lives into purity and holiness.
Yes. All right, the next one. Are we ready for the next one? All right, working from home. What does that look like? First off, we're going to go ahead and see what it means in Greek. It means guardian of the home. So, remember in VBS, our airport security at the front counter with metal detectors. We are that for our home. We are the TSA of our home. What are we scanning and allowing what comes in and out? But how do we apply this? Proverbs 31 is a great place to look. Proverbs 31 constantly goes through and talks about what a woman is doing for her household and taking care of her children and husband. Be intentional and be observant of your own lifestyle. Self-reflect and ask, what am I allowing into my life that can be beneficial or harmful? What habits am I developing? Are they good or are they bad? Practice homemaking skills. How are you serving?
Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28 says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it's basically that underlying intention of, yes, how are you serving, but why are you serving too?
Yes.
Is it for your own benefit or is it for theirs? And that serving can encompass a lot of things. As we know, homemaking can be, it's a job.
Yes.
It is truly a job.
Yes.
Because there's cooking, baking, cleaning, laundry, hospitality, budgeting, scheduling. Anything that benefits the home and those within the walls of the home, that is guarding your home.
Yes, yes. Think of it as an investment. You're investing for your future home, your future family, God's family, the church, to whom we serve and use our gifts. I do want to give another perspective too. I know that there are women that cannot solely work in the home and need extra income to help provide for the family. I know some of these godly women. We have some of those godly women present with us today. Though they work outside the home, their own home and families never are neglected. So you can work outside the home, like Lydia in Acts 16. She's a seller of purple cloth. And in Proverbs 31, woman, you can intentionally take care of your families too, as long as you keep your family and home a greater priority. And that brings me to our next characteristic, kindness. This is a big tie-in to self-control and self-discipline. You need self-control to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may come across someone that isn't kind to you, but you need to have that self-control to hold your tongue, fight back that ugly word you want to say, and be kind. Fight them with kindness. The Greek word for kindness, agathos, actually means good. So, what is good?
Ayo.
Kindness.
Hey.
And that is needed in an older woman teaching a younger to become. And needed for a younger woman to be humble, to humble oneself, to learn from the older. And guess what? Y'all aren't going to believe this. Kindness is another fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, where do we get it, guys? Yep, the Spirit.
Thanks,
thanks, guys. So, we are to clothe ourselves in it. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on them as God chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. Okay, yeah. One another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Yeah. All right. So we are called to clothe ourselves and literally put on Christ's clothing to be kind, good, and humble. Mm-hmm. But why? Why do we do that?
Well, being kind reflects Christ, and it's commanded. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." It does keep you humble because Christ was and is kind and tender-hearted towards us every single day. And that is just an amazing gift that we have.
Yes. You want to use your kindness because it gives you strength during adversity. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about and has many moments where he's faced with adversity and responds with kindness. Paul also calls us to do the same, as well as pay attention to the kindness that God shows us that Grace was talking about. In Romans 11:22, note the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but kindness to you. That's basically telling us that God doesn't have to be kind to us, but he chooses to. So how are we being kind now? What are you practicing? How do you think God feels when we stumble? Do you think he's angry with us? Do you think he's upset with us? He might be, but he still decides to treat us with kindness and give us grace, the great, great gift of grace. So, when someone is against us, how do you think we should treat them?
Luke 6:31.
The golden rule.
The absolute golden rule. Treat others as you would like to be treated. But let's also think of Matthew 5:38-42. This is about how to treat your enemy or those that are not kind to you.
Yes.
But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And if we think about it in this way, we were all enemies of Christ, all of us. All of us were enemies. And he was so kind and so graceful and merciful that he gave us the better way. Like, he treated us so well. It's so sweet. I'm amazed. All right, are we ready to go on the next?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so this might be a touchy topic in our culture, and it is submissive to their own husbands. But remember, we are studying and we're staying in God's word. So let's define it under God's terms. So submissive in Greek means to arrange yourself under. It's humility, thinking less of yourself, and meekness, which is strength under control. So this is not weakness. You are a rib mate, not and a helpmeet. You're not a foot to be trampled on, not a mat to collect mud, but a side-by-side equal partner with different roles designed by God that are complementary to one another. So how can we practice this as single gals without husbands? Well, first, we covered it earlier. Pray. Pray for your future husband. Pray that this man is submitted to God first so that you can freely and easily submit to this man. Like, woohoo, I get to submit to you. Yeah. Not, I have to submit to you. Right. However, we do know that after marriage and speaking to some of my older women, that those times come where those decisions are made and you're like, Lord, do I still have to submit? When those problems arise, pray again. Pray for wisdom. Read the word. And ask your godly older sister, your mentor, for wisdom on that, because most likely she's experienced it too. And also pray that with this right man, it won't feel like submitting. In fact, it will be more of a partnership, a yoke that is equal. You both are equal and strong together within the different roles God designed. Biblical submission requires a biblical man. A man that is willing to live his life sacrificially. We read that in Ephesians 5, verse 25. So, some examples of submission. One of the greatest examples of submission ever is Jesus Christ to his Father. We read in John 5:19, 6:38, Luke 22:42, in Mark 14:36 all about how Jesus said, I cannot do anything unless God does it. I cannot do anything unless God commands it. But the greatest in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yes,
where he goes out in sorrow and weeps and tells God, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. He does this three times in such anguish and pain.
Literally every time we talk about those verses, it brings like chills mm-hmm. to me to like think about that full submission mm-hmm. to God. He is about to go die, lay down his life, and he's begging God, take this away from me, but if it must be done, let it happen. It just amazes me every time.
It's amazing. It really is. Bringing tears here. Woo! So, for us, for examples, how do we practice this? Well, first, be submitted to God. Follow his commands. Do what he says. And thankfully for his grace and his mercy, he knows that we're going to mess up. So we're so thankful for that. Another thing to people to submit to, now if this is applicable, because I know this is also sensitive too, being submissive to your earthly parents or your caregivers. We read in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, how to honor your mother and father. But also honor your godly brothers and sisters too. Another example of submission, submit to your teachers. The majority of them want what's best for you. Teachers do not become teachers because they want to. A lot of times, a teacher becomes a teacher because they were impacted from someone that touched their lives, that impacted them, so they wanted to bring that forth to everyone else because that changed their lives. So submit to your teachers. Don't be like, ah, homework again, or just nagger, or just angry. Submit to them. Be good to them because they do want what's best for you. So our character traits. Our character traits with submissiveness. Well, we read in Proverbs 12:4 and 21:9 that we are not to be naggers, but we're to be encouragers.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I think I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We both agreed that we talked about this, that if someone nags you, we're most likely not to do what we want or do what they ask us. Like the nagging, it just makes us prolong it a little bit. Whereas if you were encouraged to do it and you're uplifted, it makes you want to do it. You're like, yeah, woohoo, let's go do it.
Yes. To build onto that, I always think, I read this book called Sacred Search, and in that book, it talks about how to be a great godly woman. We both read that book, actually.
Yeah.
And it talks about, in a walk, think of how uncomfortable it is to walk with a rock in your shoe. Mm-hmm. Think of a nagging wife as a rock in your shoe. They can still walk, they can still do it, but it will make it way harder. So, don't be a rock in the shoe.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get to the why. Knowing our why. Why is this all important?
All right. Why are these character traits important to develop? The reason is found in verse 5 and 8. So that the word of God may not be reviled. An opponent may be put to shame. Having nothing evil to say about us. So what is that saying? What does the word reviled mean? It's basically blaspheme. Mm-hmm. So when someone looks at your life, are you showing the life of Christ? Mm-hmm. The actions in our lives are powerful and proclaim if we are truly followers of Christ or not. Our lives are magnifiers to the messages we proclaim. Words are words until actions are behind them. Do our lives truly bear the fruits of Christ? And I'm going to go ahead and read James 3:12. And it says, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. That's kind of just putting it into perspective. Like, you can say, like, that's an apple tree when it's a pear tree. And so you can say, I'm a follower of Christ, and then go out and not let your life reflect that. So following these characteristics will ultimately show that you are a follower of Christ. So let your actions speak louder than your words.
Mm-hmm. And Haley and I both wanted to put a little side note in here. Is that do not be discouraged if many of these topics where one or more of these are difficult for you and you're thinking that you are super lacking. Because if you're thinking M for master, me to be, no. M for mistake maker, make that a double M, a mistake maker with many, many, oh so many mistakes. If you fail or fall short in these areas, don't get down on yourself. These are areas that you can grow and thrive in because of His grace, His word, and His spirit.
Yes, a great way to put this into perspective is all of y'all are still in school. So think of school. When you're going through tests and you study so hard, you feel like you're working so hard for this, but you fail. You get an F on that test. What do you do in that situation? Do you just give up? Because there's going to be more tests down the road. There's going to be more things coming up, exams, projects. Do you give up or do you keep trying? Do you try a different method? Do you study a different way? Do you work even harder or just give up, stop growing, and stop being? You ultimately cannot do that. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Again, will you just keep trying, moving on, or stopping?
Mm-hmm. And same when it comes to all these characteristics. If you fail one more, I pray that you take this as an opportunity to grow in it. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself with the assistance of an older godly woman, which leads to, within the church, are there godly women whom you admire and you look up to that you can talk about all these things to them? Because they can help you learn how to live God's way and also learn from their own highs and lows, their success and failures that aided them in who they are now and learning to become. Because Lord willing, they're still growing in Christ too.
All right, so the result. It is excellent and profitable for people. Help ceases urgent need and develops us not to be unfruitful. It says in Ephesians 4:15-16. Our prayer is that as you are learning these life skills, because you know this will not be completed in a day or a year, but a lifetime of learning. You take them, find your mentors, and train yourselves in them daily, so that when the time comes, it is excellent and profitable for you. Continues to grow in you. And helps you when there are cases of urgent need to help others, and that you do not become unfruitful in the good works of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we got for today. That's good. That was good.
Yes.
And until next time, continue training and studying. Continue training by studying and staying in His word.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.